Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by Jay Albright and a variety of guests, where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode.
Welcome to Issues of the Heart, a weekly podcast concerning issues that all of us battle and go through in our life, relationships. And we appreciate your being here today with us. Hopefully you had a wonderful weekend, and you've got a wonderful week coming up. Christmas is getting close, and I hope you remember the reason for the season. Well, folks, we've been talking about anchors in stormy relationships. And we've covered a lot of anchors, and so what we're going to do, we're going to pick right up where we left off. This particular anchor, anchor number 8, is the anchor of unity. This is probably what I believe to be one of the most important anchors when you're battling a storm. Now, we've said it before, we're going to say it again right now. Every relationship either just came out of a storm, is in the middle of a storm right now, or is going to be going through a storm. It's going to happen. And so what we do is we plan for the storms to come. Plan in advance. We don't make decisions in the middle of a storm. A reaction in the middle of a storm is almost guaranteed demise. So what we need to do is, in the middle of the storm, just like that old preacher said one time, just be still. When the wind's blowing and the storm's coming, if you go forward, if you go backwards, if you go from side to side, you're probably going to shipwreck. Throw out the anchor and just stop in the middle of the storm. And when the storm calms, then you can make the right decision. So one of the anchors that we're going to throw out is that anchor of unity. I guarantee that if you're listening to my voice right now, that there's been times when you've heard people talk about unity, unity, unity. If you ever played football, they've talked to you about unity. A team that plays together in unity wins championships. Basketball teams that play together win championships. I'll never forget when I had just gotten out of college. I was doing some teaching in a small parochial school and was asked to coach the basketball team. And, you know, I said, sure, we'll coach the basketball team. And what we did, we didn't have a gym to practice in at first. And so we got a part of a big room, our building at the YMCA. It wasn't high enough to have hoops in so we could shoot. So what we did is we spent all of our practices running up and down the court, just passing the ball. You know, we had rules in our practice that if you bounce the ball more than twice, you had to do push-ups. We wanted them passing the ball constantly. And I told those guys, I said, look, we'll get an opportunity to practice shooting, but right now, if we can be faster than anybody else on the court, we'll have enough opportunities to shoot shots to win the games. And so those guys did. They got where they could read each other. They knew where the other guy was going to be. And boy, they could run up and down that court and never bounce the ball. Just constantly move that ball. And we ended up going all the way. We didn't win the state championship, but boy, we came close. Matter of fact, the team that won it, we lost to by 5 points. And we were voted the most improved, successful team of the season and had a wonderful time. But you know why? Because we learned on the court the concept of unity. We all worked together. We didn't dribble the ball on our own. We needed the other guy to throw the ball to. That's the concept of unity. I watched football teams go to championships because of the concept of unity. Now, that sounds interesting, but did you know that's the way God created the whole universe? With the concept of unity? Think about it for a second. Our solar system that God created functions as one. Do you know if the Earth were any closer to the sun, we'd all burn up? If the Earth was any further away from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. The moon, the sun, the Earth, Saturn, Jupiter, all the planets in the solar system function in harmony and unity because that was God's plan. The animal kingdom, they function as one. So you got every animal that God made has a mate. There's a male and there's a female, and they function as one. They both have a purpose. They both have something they accomplish so that the two can function as one. So you say, well, that all sounds well and good, but what in the world does that have to do with stormy activity in my relationship, in my marriage? Well, let me explain. God created the solar system with the concept of unity. He created the animal kingdom with the concept of unity. And so when God had created all the animals, he noticed, well, there's the deer, the buck has a doe, and the boar bear has a sow, and the bull has a cow, and the stallion horse has a mare, and it goes on and on and on. Every animal that he created had a mate that they could function as one with. But the Bible said when God looked at all that, he looked at man and he saw that man was alone. And here's what God said. God said, it's not good. Now, what man didn't need a woman, or a woman need a man to be perfect. God made man that way. Man could have functioned with perfection for eternity. But God still said, that's not good. He didn't have somebody to fellowship with. He doesn't have someone to enjoy, but he also can't know the concept of unity. So God decided he had to take care of that, and so he put man to sleep. That's probably a good thing. The reason I say that's probably a good thing is because had man not been asleep, he would have been trying to tell God how to make her. He would have been trying to tell God, well, you know, she needs to be a great cook, and God, she needs to be able to keep a good house, and God, she needs to be able to work a job, too, and help me, you know, pay the rent. And God, she needs to be able to make it from the kitchen with a full glass of iced tea to the family room or the living room in 5.3 seconds in the middle of a football game. We would have been giving God input on how to make a woman, so he just shut us up and put us to sleep. Now, what he did was he took part of man away from him. Now, I've heard people say, well, he took a rib because that's the closest to man's heart. That sounds good, and maybe that's good. Maybe that's right. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I do know that the moment he took part of man away from him, man wasn't complete anymore. He wasn't a whole man anymore because now he's missing something that God had originally given to him. Now follow. Since he's missing something that God had originally given to him, the only way he could be a whole person again is to get back the part he was missing. I can see your thoughts, and boy, everybody's mind's going crazy. Well, what about the people who never get married? Are you saying they can't function as one? They can function exactly the way God planned for them to function, and He gives people the gift to be able to do that. But I'm talking about unity here. The only way a man can be a complete man is if he gets the part back he's missing. So think about it. Why is it that God said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife? I'll tell you why. Because then and only then can he be whole again. The Bible said they shall be one flesh, one person. Look, when God formed woman, when he created man and formed a woman, did you realize that God didn't give her a name? Do you realize that when she got her name, the name Eve, it was after they had to leave the garden after the fall? And when she did get a name, Adam gave it to her, not God. You say, well, Jay, that sounds to me like you are trying to make women sound like they're less than men. No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I may be going the other direction slightly, because I believe that man is incapable of functioning the way God intended him to function without his wife. God can give grace for any man or woman who doesn't get married. And God can bless them and use them. But He will give them a special grace to live that life. But for most of us, that's not the case. And the reason we have storms to begin with oftentimes is because we're not operating with unity. We're not living in unity. So, God didn't give Eve a name. His intention, and as a matter of fact, what He said in Genesis 5, verse 2, male and female created He them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Mr. and Ms. Adam, because they became one flesh. Why in the world is it so important for us to throw out that anchor of unity in the middle of a storm and operate as one? Well, let me give you a couple of things real fast. First of all, there's tremendous strength in unity. You can accomplish more when you're operating unified than you'll accomplish on your own. I told you in sports, teams that operate in unity become champions. On the job, on my job, on anybody's job, when you function as one with your team, you have great accomplishments. Trouble comes when the team starts functioning independent of each other. Then Jim, boy, he's got Jim's best interests at heart. And so Joe over here, he has an issue with Jim because Joe has Joe's issues at heart. And Bill over here, he has his own issues at heart. And they're functioning independently. They won't accomplish as much in business as someone who's functioning in unity as one. So, when the storm comes, what do you do? Well, the very first thing you do when the storm comes in your relationship, you can't go forward, you can't go backward, you can't go from side to side. Throw out the anchor and be still. Throw out the anchor of unity. Unity. Determine in that moment, we're going to be one until we get through this storm, until we get through this battle. You see, God works where there's unity. He doesn't work where there's discord. You remember the church in Acts? What a powerhouse for God that church was. But you know what the Bible says about that church? They were in one accord. Churches that function in one accord accomplish much because there's great strength in unity. What keeps them from being terrified? What keeps you from being terrified in the middle of the storm? Well, according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind, striving, working, marching together. Boy, what could a couple endure if they would just strive together? One flesh. There was that there in the Roman army, there used to be what they called a phalanx. And what had happened was the phalanx was the formation that the Roman army used when they marched and they responded. And they say that it would become incredible when they were marching to the battlefront. And sometimes some of the enemy would just see them marching, and because of that unity, they'd throw down their weapons and run for their life. Because it was an overwhelming sight when you saw their unity. You see, when you get out of unity with your mate, you get despondent because you pulled yourself out of the ranks. Same thing happens on the job. When you pull yourself out of the rank, you get despondent. Everything now becomes a problem for you. When you get out of unity with people that you go to church with or in your community, you're pulled out of the ranks and trouble comes. You got to understand there's tremendous strength in a home when there's unity. And when there's no unity, there's discord. And with discord comes failure and weakness. The second thing I want you to remember is there is tremendous sweetness in unity. Sweetness in unity. There's sweetness in homes that have unity and don't have turmoil. When you're coming home from work, gentlemen, what is it when your wife sees you drive up through the driveway? Oh boy, here comes heaven. Or, oh no, he's home. and the dog runs and hides under the bed. Here comes Grouch. He made it home. No, when there's unity, there's sweetness. And when there's no unity, there's no sweetness. There's discord. There's sweetness in churches that have unity. And there's bitterness in relationships in churches and on jobs where there is no unity. So when the storm comes, the turmoil's there. That marriage candle's not burning as bright as it used to. What do? Throw out the anchor of unity and be still, because there's tremendous sweetness in unity. Also, there's tremendous surrender that's necessary if unity is going to exist. You see, if my wife and I are going to be in unity in the middle of storms, then what's going to happen is we're going to have to start overlooking some things. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 said, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is." You see, it's like a sacred trust. You can't manufacture unity. You can't manufacture it. The Holy Spirit's given it, yet many can't have it because they don't maintain it. Listen to me, folks. This is going to be a shocker to you. It's natural to fight. It's natural. It's supernatural to fellowship. It's natural to fight. It's supernatural to fellowship. How do we do it? How do we throw out that anchor of unity? First of all, we do it by overlooking everything we can possibly overlook. I got to share this with you. I know you know it. Don't tell anybody I told you this. But you already know there's some stuff people need to overlook. You got some stuff going on you don't want anybody to pay attention to. So why don't we just make up our mind? Because that's true of everybody. Why don't you just make up your mind? I'm going to overlook everything I'm going to overlook. Now here's this next one. This is a tough one. How do you maintain unity? How do you throw out the anchor of unity? You do it by covering up things that don't need to be made known. There's some things about me that people don't need to know. So my wife covers those things up. There's nothing about my wife I need to cover up, but there's plenty she needs to cover up about me. On the job, there's stuff on the job that I need to cover up, that I see in other people. Stuff that doesn't need to be made known. There's stuff in my church I need to cover up because it doesn't need to be made known. I'm not talking about hiding sin. I'm talking about just piddly little things that we should look over. Hey, does your mate, husband or wife, do they have any problems? Do you feel like it's your job to share whatever their problem is with everybody else you know? I know what you do. You run to your mama's house and you share everything about your husband or about your wife that's unpleasant. I mean, after all, there ought to be other people that are upset with your wife and your husband other than just you, right? So let's get other people involved. No, I overlook everything I can overlook, and I cover up things that do not need to be made known. If I have a problem, I go talk to him about it and I deal with the problem. If I have a problem with my wife, I go talk to my wife. We discuss it together. I don't run to somebody else. Not getting upset about things that ultimately don't matter is how you throw out the anchor of unity. Not getting upset about things that ultimately don't matter. We're going to be talking about anger. And in anger, anger can be one of those generational curses that you accept, but yet it's also a decision you make or don't make. Every once in a while, stand back, look objectively at what you've got, and determine what you can do to keep it. How can you operate in unity? You don't maintain unity without giving up some freedom. If I'm going to be in unity with my wife, I'm going to have to give up some freedom. If I'm going to get through the storm, I'm going to have to give up some freedom, or I can't be in unity. You see, companionship increases where liberty decreases. So to maintain unity, I got to give something up. So, when trouble comes, when the battles come, when the storm blows hard, and the wind is fierce, and the water is rough, pull your mate as close to you as you can. Throw out the anchor of unity and just be still. The anchor of unity. Storms are going to come if you're not in one now. When they come, be prepared. Be ready. Throw out that anchor of unity and be still. Thanks for being on today. Appreciate you. Remember, next Monday night, 7 o'clock, if you have any questions, send them to info@recoveryministries.net. Leave a comment on the podcast site. Leave a comment on the YouTube site. Go to recoveryministries.net. Leave a comment and we'll try to answer those. And some of you have suggested some topics and we're going to be covering those. If you have questions, so be sure to ask. Thank you. Have a wonderful week and God bless.